Turn with me to Acts 27. John, you can put that overhead up. I'm preaching the topical messages, and it's just so much easier to have the overhead, the projector, to look at various verses rather than have you turning to them. In Acts chapter 27, I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going to refer to it later on. This is Acts 27 is the account of Paul and the ship and the shipwreck that he encountered on his way to Rome. And in Acts 27, verse 35, and when he had said these things, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. You know, I guess if we were to take just kind of ask folks around here, and I know from my mom and dad, and I'm sure that some of you find your upbringing the same way. I know, and I'm sure my dad don't mind me, I didn't check with him, but my dad was raised in a coal camp, and I've heard him talk about, they never had a whole lot growing up in a coal camp. He remembers the company store and all of that, and maybe some of you have that kind of memory as well. And I've heard him say, it seemed like his mom could take just a little bit of flour and a little bit of pinto beans and make a gourmet meal. If they were poor, they didn't really know it. They just didn't have a whole lot. My mom comes from the same kind of upbringing. I'm sure many of you can relate to that kind of story in your upbringing. When you were young, you didn't have a whole lot. Most of our kids, and me, we don't have that kind of memory coming up, do we? I mean, we always had plenty. I mean, we could go to the refrigerator and get whatever, and you know, Pop was a kind of a treat when I was a kid, but nowadays kids expect Pop, I guess. I don't know, but you know, it seemed like back in the day, Pop was a treat and all that, and we are so blessed in this country, we really are. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6. God warns the children of Israel, and he says, when you get to the promised land, when you get to this place where you're so blessed, and you have houses that you didn't build, and barns that you didn't fill, and lands that you didn't till, don't forget where it came from. Don't forget where your blessings come from. But I'm afraid, you know, and there's a buzzword in this country, I guess it's called entitlement. I think some folks, maybe they just kind of feel entitled to certain things, but we're not entitled to anything. We're just blessed. Amen. Now this morning we looked at, I told you it was a two-part message, and I'm sticking with that. I really feel like this message is the right message for tonight. I've been studying on this all week. And we looked at, you know, Paul's thankful attitude. And I heard James McDonald say this, and it stuck in my mind. I did not come up with this. Attitude of gratitude gives life altitude. Is that not the truth? You know, if you want to soar in life, cultivate an attitude of gratitude. And I am convinced that if we set out with a mentality to be purposeful about that, I believe we can, you know, cultivate that kind of attitude in our lives. I really do, an attitude of gratitude. And you know, we looked this morning at where Paul directed his gratitude, and that's up. That's to God, right? We got to look up. He was thankful for his salvation, for his ministry, for victory over flesh. He was thankful for the people God had put in his life. He was thankful for, what else was he thankful for? I have it all in my head. He was thankful for victory over death, and he was thankful, and last but not least, remember this, he was thankful for victory in life. We can live victorious lives. But tonight I want to take just a little bit different look at Paul. We're going to stick with Paul. And I just want to give us some examples of Paul's thankfulness, more so not just his exhortations, but his examples of his thankfulness. And I just want to get into it because I got about four of them that I'm going to give you. I won't keep it too long, but I want to preach what God gave me. First of all, Paul exhibit, and I love this, and I think it's so fitting for tonight. God was just speaking to my heart in such a way sitting there. I honestly could give a benediction and say it was good to be here. I hope I can add a little bit to the service. You know, Paul gave thanks in the midst of problems. He really did. Now, you know, it's easy It is easy to be thankful when life's going good, right? I mean, we know that it's easy to be grateful and you know, skipping high and feeling good when money's in the bank and health is good and the doctor's visits are going well and, you know, everything's humming along in life. It's so easy in those times to be thankful. And but aren't you glad that we serve, listen, the God that we serve is not only the God of the mountain, but the God that we serve is the God of the valley. Aren't you glad for that? Hey, listen, when things aren't going good, when the bank account gets drained, when the doctor gives you news that you don't want to hear, when things in life aren't humming along, I want to tell you, I'm glad God is still on the throne, aren't you? Listen, it did me so good to hear Sister Dreama stand up and, you know, some of you probably don't know what she's been going through, but it did me good for you to just to hear you stand up and just tell us you still are leaning on the Lord and you still believe in the power of prayer. I do believe in the power of prayer, don't you? We have seen miracles in the house of God. We do know of people. Listen, we heard about it tonight. The doctors don't know what to do, but I'm glad the great physician is still able to touch bodies, aren't you? Hey, that's the kind of God that we serve. It's easy to be thankful when things are going well, but it's good. And for Sister Dreama and I to stand up, hey, things aren't going well, but she's still trusting the Lord. Amen. Hey, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he don't say for everything give thanks, but he says in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, when you're going through troubles, when life has seemed to slap you upside the head, look for something you can get a hold of in life. Hey, listen, he'll get you through. Lean on the Lord Jesus tonight. You know, I was thinking in my own life, you know, I've had, many of you know I've had some bouts with back problems, but, you know, but thank God, you know, God used a surgeon to help me and fix me up. But, you know, I mean, I still have a bad left leg, but you know what? I'm great. I don't complain about my left leg. I'm glad my right leg's still working. Hey, I can still kick my right leg every now and then. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for that. Hallelujah. We can find something to be thankful for in life. Paul exhibited this over and over again. Think about it. In Acts chapter 16, you know this story. They were thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. And at midnight, it says in Acts 16, 25, how they begin to sing praise and pray to God. Let me tell you, that is what a thankful heart will do. Even when they throw you in the dungeon, you can still praise God. There's still something you can find how to be thankful about. Amen. In this instance right here, they are going through a shipwreck in Acts chapter 27. The Bible says in verse 20, they haven't seen the sun or the moon or the stars in days. You know what that means to a sailor? They have no idea where they're even at. They don't see the sky. They don't see the sun. They don't see the stars. They are at the mercy of the ocean. They have been tossed about. They've lightened the load. They've cast out anchors. They've done everything humanly possible. And in the middle of all of that, Paul, look, I love what it says. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks. In the middle of all of that, I would have been hanging on to one of them poles in the middle of the ship going, oh, help me, Lord. Not Paul. In the midst of his problems, he is able to be thankful. In the midst of our problems, you know what? If we can just develop and cultivate a thankful attitude, even when life isn't going like we want it to, I'm telling you, it'll help us get through the tough times in life. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 11:23, I'm not going to read it, but that is an account. It begins at 2 Corinthians 11:23, and it goes all the way into 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and then it talks about Paul's affliction and how he had to pray three times and all that. But in 2 Corinthians 11, he begins to tell about all of the things he went through. He says, of the Jews, I received 39 stripes. I think he says four times. I was stoned, he says. I was shipwrecked three times. I was in perils of robbers, perils at sea, perils of my own countrymen, hungers, fastings. And he goes through all of these things and he says, and besides all this, the care of all the churches was on me. But even through all of that, Paul could still cultivate an attitude of thankfulness. And I got to read this. And I put it up there just so we would know where to go to in Jonah. I got to read 10 verses out of the book of Jonah. I don't like to read that much most of the time, but it's necessary. I want you to listen to this. Because Jonah chapter 2, he has been swallowed by the whale. And Jonah chapter 2 is 10 verses. 9 verses are a prayer from Jonah out of the belly of the whale. Verse 1, he starts it. He says, "And Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly." The prayer starts in verse 2. And he said, now listen to this. "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me." Now understand. Understand that Jonah in the belly of a whale, underneath water, is crying out to God. And he says, "I cried out to God." Aren't you glad it doesn't matter where you're at? Hey, when the waters are over your head, they're still under his feet. And even there, he says, "I cried out to the Lord and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. And the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me." Listen, take the whale out of this and just apply it in your life. Maybe this fits. "Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surround me, even to my soul." Sometimes it feels like we're just overwhelmed. Amen? Sometimes it feels like the waters are over our head. That's what he's saying here. He says, "Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving." Can you believe that? Out of the belly. I mean, we've been in, you know, some are going through some tough things, but I tell you, we never been swallowed by a whale and went under the water, right? You want to know what happens the next verse in verse 10? "So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on dry land." You see, when Jonah got to the place where he was thankful, even in this troublesome time, he could say, "I'm going to cry out with a voice of thanksgiving." In the midst of problems, Jonah prayed, and that's when God had the whale vomit him out on the shores of Nineveh. Let me tell you something. Sometimes God is cultivating, is allowing these things to come into our lives, I believe, to get us to that place where we realize that we really need to be thankful. Paul exemplified this. All right, second one now. Let me get to number 2. In the midst of people, Paul gave thanks. I like this. Not only in the midst of problems, he was thankful in the midst of his problems, and there's more examples, but in the midst of people. Now, in this verse here, "And when he had thus spoken, I gave you the first part, he took bread and gave thanks." But notice what it says, "in the presence of them all." In the midst, you know who was on that ship? Centurions, you know, sailors. You know, sometimes sailors are a rough bunch, right? You've heard that saying, "Hey, cuss like a sailor." You know? Sometimes sailors are a rough bunch. Roman centurions, heathen folks. There was all kinds of people on that ship. But let me tell you something. Paul was not deterred. Didn't matter to him who was going to be around when he called on the Lord. In the midst of all those heathen folk, he lifted up his voice and he gave thanks to the Lord. And even in prison, the second half of that, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. And notice what it says. "And all the prisoners heard them." They didn't care who was around them. Let me ask you something. When you go to a restaurant, do you bow your head and pray? Yeah? We should, right? In the midst of people, Paul bowed his head right there on a ship with heathen folk all around him. And he prayed and thanked God. Let me tell you, hey, you know what? It might be a good witness for somebody when we bow our heads in a restaurant and say, "Thank you, Lord." It don't have to be a preaching prayer. It don't have to be all you have to do is say, "Lord, we want to thank you for what we're about to receive." And I'm going to tell you, we'll be a witness even in a restaurant to those that are around us that we serve a God that we look to and say, "Thank you, Lord." We got to look up every now and then and say thank in the midst of people. Let me, hey, listen, I'm thankful for the opportunities that I've had. I've had several opportunities in my ministry to get in a public place and pray in public venues. I am thankful for those times. Let me tell you, when I get in, and I know you would do the same thing. We mentioned Jesus, right? In the name of Jesus we pray. That's a witness to folks. I heard this one preacher was talking. He said, him and this other fellow, they went out for lunch before they ate, they bowed and they were praying. He said, when they looked up, when they finished, said amen, said the waiter was standing there looking at him. He said, That's a good thing to do. You know, we need to take every opportunity we can and be a witness for Christ. You know, hey, you might even be with folks that, you might be eating dinner with folks, you know, in your family maybe that really don't, maybe they don't believe. That's all right. Say, hey, before we eat, we're going to ask God to bless the food, right? In the midst of people, Paul didn't care who was around. He wasn't ashamed. He was going to be thankful and let everybody around him know that he was thankful to God. Number three. Now think about this. This verse has so much in it, we can't preach it all. But in the midst of impurity, be thankful. Now, Paul, I love this because he says here, be imitators of God as dear children. Boy, let's just stop right there for a minute. Boy, aren't you glad to be a child of God? Aren't you glad to be in the family of God? I was thinking about what Lewis said, and he was talking about, you know, how this affects families. And then June followed that up with her testimony. You know, drug addiction and alcoholism and all these things. You know what I know? You know what I've learned over the years? And I know you know this. The devil does not like family. He don't like family. Hey, the devil will do anything he can to disrupt the family unit. And he'll start right at the marriage, and then he'll attack the kids. He'll do everything he can because, listen, family structure is of God. Amen? And the devil is in the vicinity, like I said this morning, and he is doing everything he can to disrupt the family unit. And so, listen, Paul says, hey, you're children of God. You're in the family of God. And so we need to be imitators of God. We need to strive to live like Jesus. And he says, how do we do that? Well, when you're in a family, it's important that we walk in love. Walk means the way we live. He says, exhibit love in your Christian life as Christ also has loved us. Make Calvary's love. Listen, Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. May we seek to display Calvary's love to all those around us. A walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself an offering, a sacrifice to God. Now, then he tells us, he says, listen, he says, don't walk immorally. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Notice what, not, without getting into the specifics of that, but notice what he says. Don't even let it be said about you. Don't even let it, the appearance of it, stick to you. May you live your life in such a way as an imitator of Christ that those things would never even be thought about you being part, amen, part of the church. Then he talks about our talk. The way he says, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness. Now, that word filthiness, King James says impurity. I got the New King James up there. Well, that's what King James says, too. Filthiness. Here's what that means. The word means this, shameful or obscene talk. Are you listening? Are you listening? Don't go to sleep on me. Hey. Don't let filth, you know something? Listen now. Do we not live in a society whose, it seems like conversation has gotten so far in the gutter? Amen? I mean, I might have told this story. I don't know. It might have been the last day of school. I took Tyler to breakfast, or the first day of school. I took him out to breakfast, and we were sitting in McDonald's. And we sat down by some fellows that had veteran, like, you know, Vietnam veteran hats on or World War II. I mean, they were older fellows. And I thought, well, this would be a good place to sit. So we sit down within earshot of them guys. And I'm telling you, these old fellows start talking. They start cussing like sailors in McDonald's. I'm thinking to myself, what is wrong with people? I mean, We have been so deep. You know, when I was growing up, and many of you remember this, George Carlin had this thing. I said, 7 words you can't say on TV. And then, you know, of course, he'd say them back then. I'd listen that kind of thing. But, you know, on TV now, it's gone way past those 7 words. I mean, they just say anything. And so we become desensitized to it. Our children become desensitized to it. And the first thing you know, that talk is talk that we hear. Well, we don't hear it ours, but it could get to the place where that talk is heard in your house. He says, don't let those things come out of your mouth. And can I tell you? Well, I'm meddling now, but I'm on it. Can I tell you that a child of God should never tell a joke that is off color, make somebody, that's what he says, no foolish talking. That's what no coarse jesting. You know what that is? That's having a real cutting sense of humor, cutting people down to make yourself, you know, a real, you know, some folks do that, man. They can just tear people up, you know, just trying to be funny about it. He says, don't let that kind of stuff come out of your mouth. He covers how we walk, how we talk. But now notice what ties it all together, what gets us back to the imitators of Christ. He says, but rather giving of thanks. I told you there's a lot there. But rather giving of thanks. Being thankful will keep us in a place where we're trying to be imitators of God, where we're walking in love, because we remember where all of our blessings come from. So cultivating a thankful attitude, an attitude of gratitude, is so important. Now listen to this. We need to thank God. I want to get specific on there. We need to thank God that we have enough education that helps us to know we don't have to talk foolishly. And that education, you know, you say, well, I'm not very educated. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You can get in this book and get real educated, right? So we got enough education now, because I just told you, to know we ought not talk foolishly. Thank God for common sense, that you don't stand around and tell dirty jokes. Thank God for your spouse, that you're not jesting and flirting. Thank God for all your blessings and provisions. You won't be coveting. Thank God you know the truth and you won't make idols of false gods. All that's in there. Let me tell you, we need to just thank God for all that he's given us, and we'll remember what he's done, and we won't be falling into those categories. Amen. All right, let me move on now. I'm done meddling. In the midst, this is important here, in the midst of petitions, Paul was thankful. This is my last one. In the midst of petitions, Paul was thankful. Now notice what he says here. Some folks, we could stop right on those first four words, be anxious for nothing. You know what that means? Don't worry. You got any worries here? Don't raise your hand. If you do, you'll worry about it later. Be anxious for nothing. So he's tackling this idea of anxiety, and he says, here's how you battle it. You battle it by prayer. Calling on the Lord. Amen. Listen, if we're children of God, and we are, he says, let your requests be made known. When your children need something, when your children grow up and they need something, who do they come to? Daddy, mommy, here's what, you know, I need this for school, need that, right? They come to you with their needs. We are to bring our needs to the Lord. He is our Heavenly Father. He knows what we have need of. He says everything by prayer, by supplication. That is, a gaining of a favor for an area in our life. But notice what it's all bound together with thanksgiving. Praying with a thankful attitude. Let's add 1 Timothy 2:1 in. Therefore, I exhort first of all the supplications. We covered that. Prayers, we covered that. He adds another one in this. Intercessions. Are you praying for somebody? Are you interceding on somebody's behalf? We heard prayer requests tonight. All those are intercessions for other people. When you're asking God, touch my son, touch my daughter, touch my loved one, someone's sick, and those are intercessions on someone else's behalf, like Abraham would intercede for Sodom and say, Lord, if there's 50 righteous people, will you spare the place? If there's 20 and he got it down to 10, or as Moses, when Moses was on the mountain and God said, I hear the sound of people and they're partying, you know, that wasn't the word he used, but he said, I hear the sound, they're at play, and he said, I'm tired of this stiff-necked generation, I'm going to blot them out. And Moses said, Lord, if you blot them out, blot me out. He interceded on their behalf. He spoke for them. Even when we're praying for someone else, we are to bind that prayer with the giving of thanks. Right? Giving of thanks, I believe, indicates faith.
because we're thanking God before the answer comes, right? I like when Brother Jim stood up the other night, Sister Sharon's dad, and last Sunday night, he testified and he talked about he was going back for that PET scan, and he said, in that testimony, he exhibited faith, and he exhibited a belief that God was going to answer his prayer, and we hear now that he did. And I said it this morning, and I'm going to close. I said it this morning. I think sometimes we need to just come to the Lord with thankfulness, with just thankfulness. Lord, thank you. Well, let me close with this one. Paul, you know, he always, and again, if you study his life, what a study that is, and I've done a little bit of it this week, just a little bit. But through all that he went through, he could exhibit this attitude of thankfulness. In the midst of the most difficult situations, he could. Why? He could say in 1 Timothy 1:12, the second part of that verse, I put B, that means I skipped the first couple lines. It doesn't hurt what this says. For I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day. Paul knew that. Paul knew. Think about it. He knew that all of these, he calls them light afflictions in 2 Corinthians, right? Or 1 Corinthians 5. He calls them light afflictions. He says they're but for a moment, but they hold for me a far exceeding greater reward. And he talks about the eternal things that he's looking forward to. He knows that even though we go through things down here, he knows that they pale in comparison. And he would write, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love his appearing, who love him. So Paul knew all these things, and so he could have this attitude of gratitude. But guess what? You and I, let's get a song. You and I know them too. You and I know them too. We know these things. These things are true. They're written in the Word of God, and so we can stand on them now, and we can bank our eternity on them because they're anchored in Christ. All those promises. Thankfulness. Paul exhibited thankfulness in the midst of his problems. He could still be thankful. Jonah exhibited that, even in the belly of the whale. You know, he complained a little bit later on, didn't he? But in the belly of the whale, God had his attention. In the midst of people, Paul wasn't ashamed. And we should, in the midst of people, exhibit thankfulness to God. You know, if somebody asks you, you know, how you're doing, a lost person. You know that when we had a revival, that brother was giving us ways to witness. And, you know, if you run across somebody who has a biblical name, you know, if you introduce yourself, what did he say? Hey, that's a biblical name. There's a way. But you know what? Somebody asks you how you're doing, bring God into it. Man, God's blessed me more than I deserve. Right? God's blessing me. Get that in there. Get your foot in the door. You don't know. They might be waiting to hear something like that. Exhibit that attitude. Be thankful in the midst of people, even if they're not Christians. Be thankful. Be thankful in a world of impurity. It is all around us. All around us. But listen, let us be thankful for what God has done in our lives. It's not gonna drag us down. Let us be thankful for all that God has blessed us with. Well, it's a Sunday before Thanksgiving, and I really felt like we needed to hear and just be reminded. I needed to be reminded, perhaps, about how thankful we ought to be. Would you stand? Would you just bow your heads for a moment as you stand? Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church once again today, to gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You have blessed us abundantly. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that were shared tonight. Lord, it does my heart good to hear of others, Lord, that have victory in their lives. Lord, requests that were given. I just ask you to be with our folks here, Lord, that are battling cancer, Lord, and I just ask you to touch them tonight, Father. I would pray, Lord, for Dreama, touch her and give her your grace, Lord, and Brother Jerry. And I pray for Ed Kennedy, God, that you would touch him as well, Lord. And I pray that you'd touch Delphi, Lord. We've interceded on her behalf. And again, we ask you to touch these folks, God. Thank you, Lord, that we can bring these petitions to you and know that you care. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, Lord. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we look to you tonight And if there's needs in our lives, if there's an area where we need to move up, may we be honest with you and with ourselves and come and just move up to you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen.